All right. Well, let's ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this time of the year, Lord, this reminder of your gift to us, Lord. Father, your gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, not only as a babe, not only as the Word, the Logos being born and becoming flesh, but also be born to be a king, to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings and ruler of all things in heaven and earth. We thank you for this time, Lord, and I pray that we would be mindful of that throughout this season, Lord, and not just this season, but throughout the year, every day, Lord, every day. Lord, we lift up to you Stan and Lisa and Abby and Rebecca as they're in Florida. We just pray, Lord, that the prayers would be answered in terms of being a light to their families, Lord, a light to their relatives, a light glorifying you, lifting you up, and that your presence would be strong there with them and among them, Lord, and that their family and their relatives would sense that and feel that, Lord, and feel the love that comes from you through them, Lord. We ask that you would keep them safe and bring them back to us safely, Lord. We also ask that you would be with Pastor Thompson as well. He's been sick, and I think he's doing better, but Lord, we just pray that your hand would stay up on him and get him fully recovered, Lord. You know, he is your servant. He is your slave. He is dedicated only to you, Lord. And just pray that you would bless him with strength, Lord. Yeah. Even now, Lord. And Lord, I would ask that tonight that you would guide us, that you would open our hearts and minds to hear your word. I pray, Lord, that I would be your instrument, that I would be your spoke piece, your spoke person. I would be your instrument to bring Jesus, Lord, to those that need it, including myself, Lord. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would give Jesus in the proportion that's needed to each one here, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your spirit, and thank you for Jesus as we celebrate his birthday. Amen. Amen. Well, after Sunday night, and knowing that I had to speak again tonight, I asked the Lord, what did he want? And of course, I drew a blank. And so I thought we'd just probably just sing, you know, 12 Days of Christmas and then call it an evening. So, no, that's I'm not going to do that. But no, actually, the Lord has answered. And it started out with just a phrase, and it was by truth, that kept coming over and over, by truth. And I'm like, by truth. And I said, Lord, that's something that Jesus said, isn't it? And I'm thinking, yeah, Jesus said that. So I was thinking still, by truth is coming to mind. So I'm looking it up in the New Testament, by truth, looking through the concordance, and I'm not finding anything. Nothing. I'm thinking, uh-oh. Is this one of those, you know, things like, you know, God helps them who help themselves, you know, kind of thing? And so I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I know it's in here somewhere. So where is it, Lord? So I decided to look through the whole Bible. And it's actually not by truth. It's actually by the truth. And it's in the Old Testament, actually in Proverbs 23, verse 23. By the truth. And so it's actually Old Testament, and I guess you can say in a way that Jesus said it indirectly through the Spirit to who wrote the author of the Proverbs. It says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. So this is still going on in my mind. Buy the truth, now that I've got it right. Buy the truth. And do not sell it. Okay. I said, Lord, okay, what does that mean? I've never known what buy the truth means. What does it mean to buy the truth? and then not sell it. Now, I had an idea about not selling it because, you know, this is the Bible. We are talking about spiritual things. And I thought, okay, not selling it probably means something about not doing evil or something like that. But what is this buy the truth thing? And I also thought there is a phrase in the New Testament that Jesus did say that's similar to this, but not quite. And it's in Revelation 3:18, verse 18. And Jesus is speaking to one of the churches. And he's saying to buy something as well. He's saying, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Now, Jesus did definitely say this one, that I will counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. So after I found that, I asked the Lord, is there a connection here? Buy the truth, buy from me gold refined in the fire. So as I continued to pray about it and meditate on it, I felt the Lord say, yes, there is a relation here. First of all, we know that Jesus is the truth. In John 14, verse 6, when he says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me or through me, depending on the translation. So we know Jesus is the truth, and even though it's in the Old Testament, by the truth, it's not taking a leap to say that Jesus or God is telling us that we need to buy the truth. We need to buy the truth. We need to buy, if you will, Jesus. And if we recall from Sunday night, where God led us to understand that this gift from God is Jesus, and that this gift of God is something that we would want, then we can make a connection that, okay, Jesus is the truth, and if he's saying, buy from me gold, that's something we would want, isn't it? Gold. Especially nowadays, the way the economy is, and gold being up around, I don't know, $800 an ounce or something like that, it'd be nice to have some gold. But I don't think this is the kind of gold Jesus is talking about. And trying to understand this idea of about buying the truth or even buying from Jesus gold, and I thought, okay, Lord, how do we buy that? Do we, you know, have you set up shop somewhere where we go up to you at your counter and say, okay, Lord, I got 50 bucks. Can you give me 3 portions of truth and a half ounce of gold? And can I have fries with that? No, sorry. But no, we can't do that. You can't take money out of your wallet and say, Jesus, I want to buy some gold or I want to buy some truth. So how do we buy truth? How do we buy gold? And in Revelation, again, going back to that one, not only buying gold, but also buying white clothes so we can cover our nakedness. And so we can also buy salve for our eyes so we're not blind. Buying truth. Buying gold refined in the fire. Jesus is truth. And we should not sell it. So I ask God, what is this gold refined in fire? And the passage that came to mind is in Malachi, chapter 3, verse 3. And could you go to the New King James on that one? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, it does say the truth.
It does say the truth?
I think God was quoting NAS.
God was quoting NAS. God was quoting NAS, okay.
Which is closest to the Greek.
Okay.
I'll buy that.
Okay, our Greek scholar says, yeah, that sounds good. All right. Malachi 3, verse 3 says, he, referring to God, will sit as a refiner, a purifier of silver, or we can also place in there gold. He will purify the sons of Levi, the priests, and purge them as gold and silver. that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Gold refined by fire. Now, I don't know if you understand or know about the refining or purifying of gold or silver, but it's a pretty tough process in a sense that it takes a while. It takes a lot of heat, a lot of heat where the gold or the silver is liquefied. And then as it's liquefied and it's burning in this fire, all the scum impurities come to the top. And when it comes to the top, then they take a ladle or something and scoop off the scum. But they're not done. They do it again. They fire it up. They get it liquefied. And then more impurities come to the top. And then they scoop it off again. But they're not done. They do it again. And if they're talking about really, really pure gold or silver, they do it about 6 or 7 times. And it takes a while. And then hopefully, that's why you never see when they give you the grade or the percentage of purity of gold or silver, they never say 100%. Because they can't always get all the impurities out. So they say 99.9 something or whatever. Because they can't get all the impurities out. So gold refined in the fire. Gold. Does anyone know what gold represents in biblical terms?
Divinity.
Divinity, exactly. Divinity. The Ark of the Covenant, if you recall, the actual ark, the box, if you will, is actually made of wood and then overlaid with gold, which is representing us. And then the lid or the mercy seat is actually pure gold, which obviously represents God. And this refining of gold, I thought, okay, Lord, I understand that you're refining the gold that's in us. And what's that gold that's in us?
His nature,
divinity, to Jesus, the seed that God has deposited in us when we come to Christ, when he draws us to him. It's that gold, if you will, and he is beginning to take our nature and refine it and purify it and purge it, as it says in Malachi. Purge the sons of Levi, or purge the priests, the church, like gold or as gold and silver, 6, 7 times, getting those impurities out. Now, God's standard is not just 99.999%. It's 100%. It will be 100%. So I said, okay, Lord, I can buy the truth, Jesus. Understanding that phrase, oh, I can buy this gold refined in fire. And that gold was talking about us. But still, Lord, I don't understand how to buy it. How do I buy it? How do I buy truth? How do I buy gold from you? And if you recall about, again, going back to the gift on Sunday night, talking about the gift costs something to the receiver. And we talked about ways that gift can cost the receiver, especially if you're talking about receiving the gift of Jesus, receiving the gift from God into your life, that it's going to cost something. So it costs. All right, Lord, cost. But how does that relate to buy? How does that relate to buy the truth? Buy gold from you. And then I believe the Lord opened my eyes, if you will. The cost to us is the actual buying. When he says buy the truth, or when he says buy from me gold, I believe he's saying, accept the gift from God, knowing that it's going to cost, or put in parentheses, be bought, if you will, by you. I said, okay, Lord, okay, I can understand that. Buy the truth, accept you, take on you. Take on the requirements of the gift. And we talked about some of that on Sunday night. What are the costs of taking on the gift of Jesus, taking on this gift that God gives us that we now buy, if you will? And we named some of them. Anybody remember? What are some of the costs of incorporating Jesus, the gift, into your life?
Independence.
Independence from?
You give up your independence.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. Give up our independence. Yes. Okay. We give up our independence. All right. Good. What else does it cost?
Desires.
We give up our desires. Yes, in a sense that for our own self, and then obviously, hopefully, trade those for the desires that God has for us. Okay, Sandy.
We give up our life and make Him king.
We give up our life and make Him king. Yes, that cost us. What else? What else? What other costs are they? Are there? Excuse me.
Big one is our will. We give up our will, not my will, but thy will be done.
Yes, not my will, but thy will be done. It's a cost. It's a cost that we have to give up, that we have to, how can I phrase it, make an effort to do, to incorporate this life, this gift, this Jesus, this truth, this gold refined by fire into our life. So in a sense, we are buying the truth in that regard. By the fact that we are accepting the cost and making that cost in terms of being, another thing that we said last Sunday was obedient, being obedient. In other words, Lord, what do you want? Not what do I want? And then, Lord, you come bless it. Lord, what do you want? So as we make that cost, as we, you can look at it like an investment. Somebody looks at a vehicle, whether it's stocks, bonds, or a CD, or whatever. Let's say stocks or bonds or something like that. There's a cost involved. You just don't go say to the bank and say, "Can I have some bonds and stocks? And when they appreciate, give me the interest." They're going to look at you like you got two heads. They're going to want something in exchange for that. They're going to need some money. And say these stocks cost a certain amount. That means you have to spend that cost or provide that cost to get those stocks and bonds. And then if they appreciate, then you get the interest off of it. And so for us to make the cost into Jesus, it is like an investment. Because we also talked about some of the benefits that come from making the cost or buying the truth or buying the gold or buying the gift, if you will. It's an investment. And what's that investment produce, assuming it appreciates? And I think it will appreciate.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed, yes. Al, definitely. It will appreciate, guaranteed.
It seems like if you hadn't bought this truth or, you know, bought this gold, that actually at number three, you might not be sitting very well, because at number two it says, "But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap."
Right. Yes. Yes. That's exactly right. There is a cost involved, but there also is, in this investment, an appreciation.
I was looking at the parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins.
Yes.
There it's oil, but to me, the cost is time. Because
yes.
It's not just a one-time investment, it's a continual thing.
Yes.
They had kind of like they had the lamps. They were given the vessel to contain the oil.
Yes.
Some of them, they only had a little bit and they ran out. The other ones had continual investment of their time, had filled those up. So they were ready when the Lord appeared.
Exactly.
The other ones were not, because they didn't spend, and they, that's what they said, they go out and buy some for yourselves.
Exactly.
Buy enough for yourself.
Right. Buy some for yourself. So they took the time, the 10 virgins that had enough oil, took the cost in time to keep their vessel full. To keep their vessel full, whereas the others didn't. And as Sandy was kind of pointing out, you're not looking for anything good coming out of that. Whereas the other, the 10 that had the oil were looking for a good investment, the bridegroom, obviously, where the other 10 or the other 5 were looking for something less.
It's funny, well, when Jesus said when he came to them, he said, I tell you the truth, you know, I do not know you. There wasn't enough truth in that, but he didn't couldn't recognize himself, the truth in them.
Yeah.
So he didn't know them. He didn't know who they were.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is a good point that you bring up, recognizing the truth in them. We talk about, Jesus talks about eating his body and drinking his blood, and that on the day of his coming, that he will basically raise up his life and bring it back to himself. So those virgins that didn't have much or any of that life that Jesus could take back. That's a very good point. Thanks, Mike. Very good point. Yes, Mark?
The truth has cost you several thousand dollars because it was for the truth that you quit your job in Oregon and moved out here with no job.
That's true. 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 And many other people. That's exactly right. Yes. Yeah.
Paid a cost
to come down here.
And you just sold it by going to some church that teaches the usual junk.
Yeah, yes. And speaking of selling the truth, yes. When we sell the truth, obviously it's not talking about selling Jesus in a sense that we put him on the street corner and sell. Well, sometimes that may happen. But I think it's more of we try to get our quote unquote truth or our gold actually from the world. And so we sell the truth in a sense of
exchange it.
Yes, that's a better word. Exchange it. Exchange it. And so we go for the gold of the world, the actual metal or the money of the world or the pleasures of the world or the, all the things that we think the world can give us. Comfort, security, reputation, wealth, all those things. And we sell. And I said, Lord, isn't there something about selling our soul? And again, I tried to look it up and there is nothing about selling our soul. But there is something about losing our soul. In Matthew 16, verse 26. Again, New King James, please.
Well, he is making all things new and all things international. So.
Okay, so for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, he sells truth or exchanges truth for the world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So in this case, the man will give the truth in exchange for the world. And he will lose out big time. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Buy the truth and do not sell it. So that means if you're going to buy something, it's going to cost you something. If you're going to buy gold refined in the fire from Jesus, it's going to cost you something.
Yes, sir.
Buy the truth and do not sell it. It's going to cost you something. Can we go back to Revelation 3:18, please? Not only does he want us to buy gold, he wants us to buy white clothes. Does anybody recall what the white clothes stand for? Sandy?
Our righteous acts.
Our righteous acts. Where is that at in the Bible?
That's in Revelation also.
It is. It's 19, Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8, or actually verse 8. But if you can bring up 7 and 8. The white clothes. Jesus wants us to also buy from him white clothes. To cover our nakedness. And in verse 7 it starts off as, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. fine linen stands or is the righteous acts of the saints. In verse 7 it says the bride made herself ready. If a bride is getting herself ready, nobody just shows up for free and says, hey, here's the wedding dress, here's, you know, here's the food, here's all the catering stuff. It costs something, doesn't it? Costs a lot of money. Usually it's the parents that buy, but still, it costs something. The bride made herself ready. It costs the bride something to get this fine linen, this white clothes that Jesus says he wants you to buy from him. What about the salve that it talks about in Revelation 3:18? Buy the salve so you're not blind. Mike, could you go to 2 Peter, starting with verse 5. Salve, buy salve from Jesus. I'm sorry, probably first chapter. I did leave that off, didn't I? First chapter, verse 5 of 2 Peter. Is that it? That's probably not it. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, it is. That is. Okay. Starting at verse 5, says, for this very reason, and before we go, for this very reason, for what reason? If we go back up in the 4, it says, though these, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. To not be blind, according to Peter, cost you something. Tony.
Verse 8, possess, acquiring, buying.
Yes, exactly.
A synonym.
Possess, acquiring, buying. For if you buy these qualities, yes, good. Thank you, Tony. Yes, if you buy these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you will not be blind.
Keep on buying.
And keep on buying, exactly.
Am I jumping ahead, or do you got Matthew 13 up there? On your sheet, you got Matthew 13?
No, go. What do you got, Mike?
He was, here, where he talks about it cost everything. Whoever, when they found the truth, they found the kingdom, they sold everything, all that they were, all that they had.
Yes.
By that.
Yeah, that's Matthew 13, verse 44 through 46. Yes. The guy that goes out and finds this pearl of great price in this field and sells everything to get that field for that pearl of great price. Yes, it costs something. Buy the truth. Buy gold from Jesus refined in the fire. It costs something. Jesus wants us to buy the truth. Wants us to buy him. And he wants us to buy the gold that he's providing. But that goal comes with purification, purging, refining, which implies it's not pleasant. It costs something. Yes, Mark.
One thing I've noticed in life is that each of us has a choice in some areas of choosing to believe the unpleasant truth or the pleasant lie. And that's similar to bias. Truth and not selling it.
Yes.
And the cost there is the immediate pleasure of believing the deception.
Right.
So notice that so often it's the truth is unpleasant, the lie is pleasant. Choose. And how many people, well, I don't one of them. That's negative.
Right.
It isn't. Anyone who says negative or positive is choosing the pleasant lie.
Yeah. Exactly. Tony.
I'd like to add something to that. That's where the saying the truth hurts. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's unpleasant. Mm-hmm. So it hurts.
Yeah. Or how about deny yourself? And not even go to the second part of that about taking up your cross, but deny yourself. Everyone knows that delayed gratification, such as saving for a rainy day, waiting instead of trying to get your gratification now, you store up, you chop the wood in the summertime so you have it for the wintertime. You put the crops in the springtime so you have it in the fall. You know, it's not pleasant to have to plow the ground and have to put the seed in and have to do all that work, but you get the effort. You get the effort at the end of it, but it's not pleasant at the beginning. It's not pleasant at the beginning. To try to tell a child, here's a quarter, you know, put it in your piggy bank and save it for a rainy day. It's probably the hardest thing they ever have to do because they're thinking candy, candy, candy. So they don't want to put that pin or that quarter in the piggy bank. Bill.
Thinking about gold and dross, when you look at gold, you don't see dross because dross is so much a part of the nature of gold.
Okay.
That when it takes heat and grief, you know, when we look at ourselves to really separate Christ from our own Adamic natures, it really does take something that's incredibly painful. It's not just, oh, I'm having a bad day, but
right.
When God really brings up, when he wants to get at something that's essentially who we are, he's got to go to pretty extreme measures sometimes.
Yes, yes, you're right. And you bring up a good point, Bill, because the idea of refining, the idea of purifying that gold, like you said, you can actually see, you know, I mean, they've got a thing called fool's gold. You know, it's not even really gold, but it looks like gold. But the same concept. You got the dross that's in the gold and you can't get it out until you put it to the fire and you put it to intense heat for a while. And God many times is going to have to do that for us as well.
Talking about the cost, Noah built the ark for 100 years without power tools.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But that wasn't the only cost. Where was the other cost?
The scorn. Yes.
The scorn from the people. They thought he was nuts. I mean, what's this idea? What's this rain you're talking about? Never heard of rain. And why are you building this on dry land? And how come it's so big? And in his backyard, exactly. Yeah, there's a cost. There's a cost of when you take on Jesus. There's a cost many times of reputation. There's a cost of sometimes friends, even family members sometimes. Yeah. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Buy gold from me, Jesus says. Buy gold, white clothes, and salve so that you're not blind, so that you're not naked. Ron.
There's an element just following up on what Mark said because it kind of resonated is, and it just escaped me.
The Lord help me.
Yeah. Oh, that Jesus is the man of sorrow. Mm-hmm. And we have to give up the idea of the instant merriment, too. And mm-hmm. here in Noah, I was thinking of, you're giving up that merriment and the supposed value of it.
Right.
But man of sorrow, and then the verse came to mind, too, that those who mourn shall be comforted.
Shall be comforted, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Buy the truth and do not sell it. In other words, as the old saying goes, take your medicine now. Deny yourself. Save for a rainy day. But in our case, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, as Jesus says. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Buy gold refined in the fire from me by white remnant, right clothes so you're not naked, salve for your eyes so you're not blind. By the truth.
Do you have more verses on there? There's a related one. It's in the epistle somewhere. It says, they did not receive a love of the truth that they might be saved.
Right.
And it's talking about the reward of all this.
Exactly. So one of the rewards of buying the truth is salvation. Another reward of buying the truth is Jesus himself, obviously. Another reward is being a co-heir with Jesus. Another reward is ruling with Jesus. Another reward is being clothed, not just with the white clothes, but with that house that's being built on the righteous acts that you do. With a body that is from God, that now, instead of wanting being compelled to sin, now wants to do righteousness. Buy the truth, do not sell it. It costs. Does anybody have anything else that they want to share? Everybody understand, at least hopefully tried to convey about the understanding of buying the truth and buying gold refined in fire? What does it mean to buy? Bill?
When you were talking about somebody mentioned salvation, it was Mark.
Uh-huh, right.
The benefit of salvation. Having the dross skimmed out of the gold could also be a form of salvation.
Yes. Yes. Speaks of taking the impurities out of us. The sinful nature, the misdeeds of the body, the works of Satan. Mike, did you have something?
Well, what Bill was talking about is here in Isaiah, talking about removing the dross and the penitent ones will be redeemed.
Yes, the penitent ones. Penitent ones are not happy ones. Yeah, they're not happy. But their joy will come later. Good, good. Anyone else? Because to be honest with you, I think I've got all said that God's given me. So if you've got anything, please share.
I think most of Christianity, because I share some of the stuff sometimes in some forums and things about right. buying this and that, and people usually come back with, well, it's a free gift. Mm-hmm. So all stuff's free, so we don't have to do anything. And that's where people get hung up, so they don't think that they need to, but they're going to end up being the five foolish virgins who have not bought into, invested into the kingdom.
Exactly.
And they don't have the oil, they don't have the gold, they're going to face some trouble in that day.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what we talked about on Sunday night, the idea that the gift does cost something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tony, did you have something?
I just wanted to see the King James version of that, the by the truth.
Which one?
Proverbs 23?
Yeah.
Could you go to Proverbs 23 and in the King James?
That's the best version.
Right? That's actually where I got it from, was King James.
Yeah. By the truth and sell it not.
Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Yes. Buy the truth and sell it not. And that's what was in my mind initially when the Lord began laying this on my heart, was I said buy truth and then sell it not. And
here's the buy in the interlinear. Retain, possess, purchase, recover.
Ah, good. Yes. We got a definition here of buy in the King James or the Concordance, I guess. And it's attain or buy. So it fits right with what we're talking about. Attained, let's see, get, purchase, possess, redeem. Is that Hebrew? Hebrew Proverbs, yes. Well, I didn't say Greek. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Good, good. Anything else? Anything else? Because I, like I said, I don't have all the verses. There's plenty of verses in the Bible that support this. But so does anybody else have anything or anything else they want to share about buying the truth and not selling it? Hal?
Well, Tony said the most significant thing, and that was substituting possess with buy.
Yes.
I mean, that's the whole thing in a nutshell.
Right, right. Possess the truth. Possess. And that's exactly what it would be. Jesus possesses us and we possess him. Exactly. Bill.
Every time this year we've become so saturated with buy, you know, during the season that we think that Christmas, the last thing Christmas is buying anything. Well, not necessarily true. The Lord does have something he wants us to buy.
Right.
During the season.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. Tony.
I have something to add.
Uh-huh. Sure.
There's a Greek proverb that they got from this verse right up here, and they've twisted it, and it goes like this: buy and sell not, talking about possessions, you know, land and you know?
Oh.
And I've heard that thing quoted many times when I was a child. Mm-hmm. Buy and sell not, buy and sell not.
In other words, buy and keep.
Yeah, buy and keep. Yeah, and not, you know, not build up your barns, mm-hmm. build up your possessions.
Exactly.
You know, and they deleted the word truth. And I remember hearing that so many times, and they got it from here, and they just perverted it. You know, by deleting that one word, the truth.
The truth, the truth. Yeah. Amen. The truth. Anyone else? Ron?
You know, when we look at all the things that you're talking about, I don't know what the right word is, the advantages, but I think it's more the byproduct of what will come from serving the Lord. And really, to me, that's it right there. It's a servant's heart, because the greatest in the kingdom will be the servant of all.
Correct.
And Jesus set the example for that.
Yeah.
Perfect love. That's saying something.
That is, yes. Yeah, it's not.
We look at it like servant. Oh, that, what a miserable existence. Mm-hmm. And to be given, but to actually draw your fulfillment from it, from being a true servant,
right,
is really something.
It is.
To
yes.
contemplate.
Yes. It is, and it's something to contemplate. And it's something hard for us to grasp. And, you know, and I've talked on that before about the idea of being a slave and what that means, and a servant. And we in America have no concept of that. So it's even hard to understand the idea of buying truth, because we're looking at something. How does it benefit me? Period. Period. As opposed to the cost that's going to be involved. Anything else? All good. All good comments. Anything else? Well, I would say as we come up again, and we're a couple of days from Christmas, and I will encourage each one of us to think and pray and ask the Lord, what's the gift he wants? And of course, we know what it is ultimately is ourselves, but depending on how God is leading you, it may be something a little different than that. But let's take this opportunity to buy from Jesus, to buy Jesus, to buy the truth, to buy from him, and present a gift to him and make it something that is honoring him and is not focused on us. It's not focused on what can we do for, you know, do I have enough presents for everybody else and all that. Not to say you don't do that. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying let's pray and ask the Lord what it is he wants for his birthday. And let's give it to him. And the great thing about it is that whatever we give him, he'll give us the grace and the power to see it through. To see it through. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for illuminating this idea of buying the truth. It was such a mystery to me for so long. I didn't know and understand how to do that. And even as you gave it to me a few days ago, I still struggle with what that meant. And so I thank you for bringing that out, not only through me, but through others here, Lord, who have shared this idea of what it means to buy the truth, to buy from you gold refined in the fire. That is so important, Lord. It's a command that you give to us. Buy from me. Buy from me. So we're not naked, so we are not blind. And so, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to concentrate and focus on you. This is your birthday, Lord. This is your celebration. It's not ours. Help us to focus on you as the King of the universe. And just as the nobles would have come to the king and not presented some little nothing that they just kind of half thought about, but they would have put considerable cost into the gift that they would give the king. Otherwise, the king would be insulted. Help us to do the same, Lord. Help us to honor you with a gift that is worthy of you. It's your birthday, Lord. It's your birthday. Happy birthday to the King. Amen.